New King James Version, Deuteronomy 18:15-18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. From your brethren him you shall hear. According to all you desire of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see the great fire among any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good, and I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all the commandments of him.
Thank you for giving me a turn. Good morning. It is good to see everybody here, and we are glad to be here with you and to be a part of this congregation, and we certainly hope that you are glad to be here. And if you're a visitor with us today, we hope that you'll be back with us at any opportunity that you might have, and that you will feel like you're our honored guest. I'll preclude the other opening remarks I had because in the interest of time, I'll make up for them at a later date. The word prophet, from our text that was just read, the word prophet is anybody that would speak God's word. That's the way it was used in the Old Testament, though we often tend to think of them this way, that they saw the future, and certainly sometimes they did. But it wasn't always all about future events. Sometimes it was about the present in which they lived at that particular time. But the first time the word prophet was used in the Bible is when Abraham was in the area of Abimelech, who was trying to get his wife, Sarah, and God appeared to Abimelech in a dream, and he let him know that Abraham was a prophet. And so that's the first use of that word in the Old Testament. We usually think, though, of some of these men as who a prophet would come to mind when the word comes up, Elijah and Elisha, and some of those who wrote some of the books in the Old Testament, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. Those are the ones we typically think of as prophets and the things that they spoke. God used prophets to bring forth His word in Old Testament times. And in the Hebrew writer mentions that in the first verse when he says that God in various times and ways spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. Later in an earlier text, Jesus referred to himself that way in Luke 24 when he was speaking to the two men from on the road to Emmaus and later to his disciples, that the prophets had spoken of him. The Old Testament prophets had spoken of Jesus. In the New Testament days, we see one man particularly named out. He may not be that familiar, but on Paul's return from his third missionary journey, he encountered a prophet of God named Agabus, who warned him of things that were coming to him when he got to Jerusalem. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in the mentioning of the various parts of the body and the church in the early days in the first century, that there were those with the gift of prophecy. There were prophets among the people then. So a prophet was an important person in getting God's word out to the people so they would know what He expected of them, whether it was now or in the future. And so our lesson today is from our text, God will raise up a prophet. So as we think about the text in verse 15, we're going to go through it a little bit at a time. Moses said this, the Lord thy God. Now we know who that is. That's the Lord we call sometimes Jehovah. He's the one that we might refer to as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And of course of Moses and later of David and on into the days of the New Testament. The Lord thy God, Moses said, shall raise up unto thee a prophet. Now the word thee refers to them, the children of Israel. the Israelites, the Hebrews. And sometime in the future then, God was going to raise up a prophet unto the Jews, so to the nation of Israel. And he says some things about this prophet, that he would be from the midst of thee and of thy brethren. Well, that means he would be a Jew just like them. And then he says, like unto me. In other words, he will be comparable in one sense to Moses. Moses had a special relationship with God, and this future prophet then would have a special relationship with God. And then he says this, unto him shall you hearken. Now that word hearken is not a word we use in our vocabulary all that often, but it means to hear and pay attention and to do. To hearken means more than just hear the words. It means to do what the words are. And there's the injunction that he had on them. The next couple of verses I'm just going to summarize. It's a reference back to Exodus 20 when the people were assembled before Mount Sinai, sometimes referred to as Mount Horeb. And when God descended upon the top of the mountain in the cloud and the fire and the thunder and all, and spoke out the Ten Commandments, and the people were afraid of His voice. And they told Moses, you go and you speak with God because we're afraid of Him, and then you come back and tell us what it is that He said. And then in verses 18 and 19, we have this thought. It's a repeat of the beginning part of this prophecy. The Lord shall raise up a prophet unto thee from the midst of thee. I will put my words in his mouth. And then a repeat of the other. To hearken unto that. In fact, it says, those that do not hearken unto his words, I will require it of them. You think about what that might mean. God said, I will require it of them if they do not hearken unto his words. So, just who is then this prophet? I know that there are various ones that we can make a case that it might be any or all of these men. For instance, could it have been Samuel that he was talking to? And certainly, God raised up Samuel as a prophet of God in the midst of a terrible time in the history of the nation, the time of the judges, towards the end of it. In 1 Samuel 3, he's referred to as a prophet of God. In 1 Samuel 9, King Saul and his followers were seeking a seer, and it was mentioned about a man named Samuel who spoke the words of the Lord. In a previous verse, it says is that the words that God gave him never fell to the ground. In other words, they fell on the ears of those that were to listen. And in 1 Samuel 13 and 15, Samuel certainly got close, up close and personal with King Saul, because he was giving him the word of God. Because on two different occasions, Saul disobeyed what Samuel had told him to do, what the Lord had told him to do, regarding offering a sacrifice, and later about his encounter with King Agag and the Amalekites. And because of that, his kingdom was to depart from him. So maybe it was Samuel, or maybe it was Elijah. Elijah is one of my favorite Old Testament characters. And particularly because of one particular thing I'll mention in just a second. But he was definitely a prophet of the Lord in a difficult time and area for prophets of the Lord. For Ahab and in particular his wife Jezebel, they were wicked. Jezebel was very wicked. She had brought Baal worship into the northern kingdom Israel, and she was killing prophets of the Lord. And he stood up against them. And in 1 Kings 21, after the encounter with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, when there was the challenge made, we're going to build an altar and we're going to see which God will respond to the call to light that on fire. And the prophets of Baal, they did all of the things they did nearly all day long. And old Elijah kind of made fun of them. You need to speak a little louder because maybe he's asleep. Nothing. But then Elijah, who erected that old altar unto the Lord and put the wood and put the sacrifice and doused it all with water, buckets and buckets of water, till there was a trench around filled with water, and he just prayed a simple prayer unto God, let it be known this day that there is a God in Israel, and fire came down from heaven and burned up the sacrifice and the wood and all the water, licked it all up. clearly demonstrating that he was a man of God. He prophesied the word of God. He prophesied to Jezebel and to Ahab specific things about their deaths. How that in that garden, that vineyard that Jezebel helped Ahab to acquire, that the dogs would lick up his blood there. And that also that dogs would eat Jezebel. And then there's Jeremiah. For in the very first chapter of the book he wrote, he said that God said to him, I will put my words in thy mouth. That's certainly one of the things that fits Moses' prophecy about that prophet that would come up. And we know that he over and over and over again tried to get the people to repent. And he said, if you'll just listen to God's word, he'll forgive you. But if you don't, you're going to perish by the sword and the famine and the pestilence. It could have been any or all of those that kind of fit that which Moses said. But let's go farther. What about this man, John the Baptist? Now we know him as the precursor, the one who prepared the way for the coming of the Lord. He was known as a prophet. He preached the word of God. He was asked in John chapter 1 several questions. Are you the Christ? He says, no. Are you Elijah? He says, no. Are you that prophet? That's the one we're talking about, Moses, the one that Moses said God would raise up. Are you that prophet? He said, no. But he was perceived to be one of them. But then what about Jesus? Let's think about that. We've mentioned some men that it could have been, and maybe sometimes a prophecy has more than one particular application, and certainly some of these men could have possibly been that prophet. But what about Jesus? In Matthew 21:11, in Luke 24:19, in John 4:29, in all three of those instances, some people recognized that he was a prophet. In Luke 24, those men on the road to Emmaus, they thought about him being that way as a prophet, the way that he spoke to them. John 4:29, the woman that he had the discussion with at the well about the living water, she said, Sir, I perceive thee to be a prophet. Jesus certainly was perceived as a prophet. Jesus didn't speak his own words either. Now remember, Moses' prophecy said, I will put my words in his mouth. Jesus said, the doctrines that I speak unto you, they are not mine. They are from the Father which sent me. In John chapter 12, he says, I have not spoken of my own, but that which the Father gave me to speak. In John chapter 14, he says, these are not my words, but the words of the Father which is in me. That certainly fits the bill, for I will put my words in his mouth. In Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, Peter took that prophecy from Deuteronomy 18 and applied it specifically to Jesus. That's a pretty good commentary on that then, isn't it? And then was he like Moses? Well, certainly he was more than Moses, but he had some things that's kind of together that would make the people make that comparison. For Moses was perceived as the giver of the law. It's called the law of Moses, but Jesus came and gave a greater explanation to that law and then provided us with the words of eternal life. That's the law under which we live now. Jesus, both of them known as a prophet. Both of them were deliverers. For through the hand of God, Moses delivered the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. And through the hand of God, Jesus is the deliverer for all who would obey Him out of the bondage of sin. I think it should be unquestionable that Jesus is that prophet about whom Moses spoke in Deuteronomy 18. So then let's think about this. Unto Him shall you hearken. Well, you know, whatever Samuel spoke, whatever Elijah spoke, whatever Jeremiah spoke, whatever John the Baptist spoke, those things were given to them by God, and certainly the people should have hearkened unto them. But Jesus spoke the words of God, and unto Him shall ye hearken, has more meaning. And Jesus, in discussing about Him and about whether they should believe in him or not, talking to the Jews, the Pharisees in particular, the scribes. You believe in Moses, then you ought to believe in me because Moses spoke of me. Now, without quoting that passage, certainly Moses spoke of Jesus in Deuteronomy 18:15, "The Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken." That's what Jesus was meaning there when he said that. If you believe Moses, you ought to believe me because he testified of me, and Moses prophesied that you were to obey that prophet. And all that do not hearken unto that prophet, God said, I will require of them. And look what Peter said about that. Peter said of that prophecy, every soul who does not obey will be destroyed. That's what God meant when he says, I will require it of him. That destruction in eternity is what the results of that is. And Peter also said that all the prophets from Samuel forward have spoken of these days. What days? The days of Jesus and his death and burial and resurrection and the message that he brought and the message that they are now bringing, the gospel. And Jesus himself said about how important it was to obey him. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's obedience. Whosoever therefore heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. That means heareth these sayings of God, because I didn't speak my own word, Jesus said. They're the words of the Father. And doeth them. That's obedience. That's the wise man that built his house upon the rock. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. It's the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And that house fell. And it says, and great was the fall of it. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, though he were a son, that's talking about Jesus. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all who obey him. Whosoever shall not hearken unto him, I will require it of him. Whosoever doesn't obey God, doesn't obey God's Son, it will be required of him. He shall be destroyed from among the people. In Romans chapter 10, Paul lamented the fact that Israel, not all Israel, was saved. Oh yeah, he said, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They go about seeking their own righteousness instead of seeking the righteousness of God. They haven't figured out yet about believing with the heart and confessing with the mouth unto salvation. That when Paul said, whosoever believe shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, he said, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And then in verse 16, quoting from Isaiah and then making a statement, he said, they have not all obeyed the gospel. They have not hearkened unto the words of that prophet that God said, I will require it of them. 1 Peter 4:17, and the time come that the judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, that's kind of really a rhetorical question, but it seems like Paul had an answer for that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, that Jesus is coming back with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and punishing them with destruction from the presence of the Lord. How long? Forever. How important is it to obey that which Jesus has given us? God said, this is my prophet. This is my son. This is the prophet that Moses prophesied about. The one that would be from the midst of you, he was a Jew. The one who I will put my words in his mouth. The one who is like Moses as a deliverer. He's more than just a deliverer and a prophet and a lawgiver. He's the propitiation for our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We ought to think about that when we're taken out of that cup. That cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the one who died for my sins and your sins and everybody's sins. And without that death, we would have no remission of sins. And God's put His Word in Jesus' mouth, and Jesus brought it to us, and His disciples have brought it to us. And it's imperative to us to hearken unto Him if we want to have eternal salvation. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel. It's simple. You hear God's Word. That's the basis of your faith, Romans 10:17. You believe in God, Hebrews 11:6. You believe in Jesus, John 8:24. You repent of your sins. That's a turning away from that which is unrighteous and worldly and turning towards God. You're willing to stand before men and make a public confession. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32 and 33, or else He will deny us before God. And to submit ourselves to baptism in order to have our sins washed away. Acts 22:16. And then to live that faithful life to Him, growing and maturing and being fruitful and faithful. Fruitful and faithful unto God all the days of our life. So that He will fulfill His promise to us that we could have eternal life through His Son. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, or if you're a child of God who has not been faithful, not been fruitful, not living the faithful life, we want to offer you an opportunity today to get right. You just need to come forward and let us know how we can help you. And we will pray with you and pray for you and assist you in any way we can to become a child of God, to be restored as a child of God, to help you to overcome that which is bothering you. We want to urge you to do that right now as we stand and sing our song of encouragement.